welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely safe, blessed day today. I told you guys yesterday, you know, there were numerous reports that there were going to be some riots and protests in downtown Auburndale, and I'm very pleased to report that we have an incredibly assertive and very aggressive sheriff over here in Polk County. Probably the best county sheriff we could possibly ask for after yesterday. And, you know, there was some stuff going on. There were a lot of things that were going on social media about what a lot of these groups, these criminals were going to try to do in Central Florida in our area. And, Grady Judd pretty much was like, listen, this isn't going to happen here. And so he actually did a press release. We'll play it here in a second. And they came in hot yesterday. They staged off basically at a park down the road, and they didn't want to be seen as far as a lot of their stuff. I got a video of them. One of my buddies who's a SWAT was allowed me to go over there and get a video of them rolling in, but they didn't want to have any point of where they were located. He didn't want any of that on there, which was fine. And they brought in all the MRAPs, which generally, as you guys know, I'm not a huge fan of law enforcement having MRAPs, but as of yesterday, this was a point to where you can really, really show that it's not okay to loot, pillage, and burn your town. And even Grady said that yesterday. He said, what happened with George was unthinkable. It was completely just not okay at all. And he said, if one of my sheriff officers was caught doing something like that, he would be in the county jail before sunset. He said that. It's completely unacceptable. He said, but what's also unacceptable is people going into cities, towns, looting, burning, robbing, stealing. That's not okay either. That's complete and total lawlessness. So just something that very, very proud of yesterday. I'll tell you guys more on it later. But other than that, how are you doing this morning, Dan?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. In fact, if you go to the Facebook site for Health Masters, we've got a video of the MRAPs and all of the vehicles rolling in to our area, into our town. And I mean, it's an absolutely impressive show of force. And I'm like Austin, I'm not all about that most of the time for the police, but when what happened with me on Sunday when I got trapped over in Lakeland, and we basically had to lock and load our weapons in the vehicle because we thought we were about to get into a giant riot, to be honest with you guys, there's no other better way of saying it. Grady Judd had enough, and I told you guys yesterday, and this is what I told Sharon on Sunday. I said, she said, well, why hasn't Grady Judd done anything? I said, oh, he'll do something. I said, don't worry about Grady Judd. He'll take care of this. He'll fix this. But he's giving Lakeland a chance to prove they can take care of her, which they could not. And basically, he basically came in there with tear gas, dispelled the rioters. I mean, they were blocking like 12 lane intersection. I mean, in the middle of the road. Parked their cars in the turn lanes, opened the doors up, turned on heathen rap music about how to kill cops, and just left their vehicles in the middle of the road and just started just acting like a bunch of thugs. And he took care of it. I mean, within a few minutes after I called 911, you know, and I'm not saying this because of my phone call. I'm saying I'm sure other people were calling in too. This thing was completely quelled and dispersed and gone. And then they got on social media and they said that we're going to go ahead and we're going to go into the neighborhoods down Polk County, and we're going to ransack, loot, and pillage. And he basically got right on the doggone social media platform, and he said, that ain't going to happen here. He said, and in fact, I'm going to quote exactly what you said. He says, if you value your life, they probably shouldn't do that in Polk County, because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns, and they're going to be in their home tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns. So leave the community alone. That's our sheriff. I mean, this guy is so cool. I mean, he was at church with me, at the church of the mall. I mean, the guy is just, he is what he says he is. He has a Bible on his desk, you know, in his office. I mean, like Austin said, if we could pick a sheriff and we could give him the characteristic traits and have a perfect fantasy sheriff, we would pick Grady Judd. I mean, he's probably the best county sheriff in the United States. And last night, Austin went downtown, He basically sat there with his friends. Several hundred people came to protest in our city park. The park was lined with Auburndale police, with county sheriffs on the perimeter of the city, waiting if something happened. But there was no show of force. There were no MRAPs. There were no county sheriffs downtown. There was nothing. All they had were the local police, the Auburndale Police Department, and they handled everything. Now, I will give Grady credit. Yesterday, they had the canine detail, like 20 cars with dogs, in the Auburndale Park all day doing drills with their dogs. And I would personally believe that, I would think that this, the reason that was done was let everybody know that, hey, look, we're going to be nice. We're going to train in the park today. But, you know, guys, we have the ability to quell this. Just let you guys know. But before the protesters ever got there, all the canines were gone. All the sheriff cars were gone. No maps, no military presence as far as the, you know, being dressed up in SWAT. None of that. I mean, Grady Judd did it textbook perfect. And so nobody was intimidated by quote-unquote law enforcement. And so my hat's off to Grady Judd. I highly respect him. We go to church together. He's one of the finest people I've ever known and ever met. And I've told him before, because I know him. I've spoken to him. I said, if you ever need help or ever want help with your reelection in our county, let me know. I will do everything I can to promote you. Here's the problem. Nobody ever runs against him. He has like a 90% approval rate in our county. County is super safe. Now, before Grady Judd got here, we had a real problem with drugs because we have major highways going through Polk County. We have the largest county, by the way, in the state of Florida. And Highway 60 cuts right across the middle of it, east to west. Interstate 4 comes diagonally across it from Orlando all the way through to Tampa. We've also got Highway 27 going north and south. All these major highways, 1792, we have major highways intersecting and bisecting the county, and it's a major distribution hub in the area for Amazon and a lot of other big companies because of the highways. And before Grady Judd became sheriff here, we had a lot of people out in the woods cooking drugs, making stuff, and using them as distribution networks and grids. We had people, we had, no joke, guys, we had airstrips out in the Green Swamp. They were dropping drugs and bringing them in at night. I mean, when you read about those cocaine cowboys and all the stuff back in the 80s and the 90s, that was all based out of Polk County, guys, because we're so rural. And Grady Judd cleaned all that up. I mean, cleaned it up. I mean, almost 65 years. I think he's 65 now, and I just hope and pray that he doesn't retire. Because, I mean, I don't know where you would go to find another sheriff like this who's been working in law enforcement since he was like 20 years old. I mean, this guy's got like, you know, 45 years of experience in law enforcement. So we're blessed to have him. So I'm going to go ahead and send him a link to the show today, let him know that we're bragging on him. But guys, you know, just pray that cooler heads prevail. Donald Trump last night pretty much invoked the Insurrection Act and is now deploying federal troops throughout the United States. And he said in order to prevent the governors and the mayors from not doing anything, the mayor in Chicago, the little weird one that Bankow apparently doesn't like anymore because he was hammering her really hard on a show yesterday, she basically said, we're not going to arrest any rioters. We're not going to arrest any looters. Leave them be. Let them loot and riot and steal whatever they want. God, this is insurrection. This is vandalism to a point of basically overthrowing the country. I mean, we've got a group of people, and I've referred to them multiple times on who they are, who basically want communism on the entire planet. They want a one-world government. It's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. And this group of people now is pushing to overthrow the United States and our civil liberties and our civil rights here and all the other things in the United States. And this is the group that has been doing this since the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And if we don't stand against this, it's not going to get any better. In fact, it was interesting. I read this article this morning, and it basically was talking about the Black Robe Regiment needed to revive the king to save America. Now, this is an interesting article because it's not what it sounds like when you first hear it with the king and all that. The king would be God, would be with Jesus, King Jesus. But what happens is it starts talking about how the Black Robe Regiment are the ones who allowed the United States to break away from the tyranny of King George. And they're talking about the preachers in the pulpit. But now we have these preachers in the pulpit who don't want to get involved with politics. and they refuse to get involved with talking about any of this stuff as far as what's happening. Guys, the Black Robe Regiment was a courageous and patriotic group of colonial-era clergy whom the British blamed for American independence. Those clergymen spoke boldly concerning the issues of the day, wearing their black clerical robes while in the pulpit. They preached the word of God without fear or favor. They told the king in the pews what and whom they should elect, because they understood that to have a good government, the people must first be good citizens and morally straight. This was the Black Robe Regiment. And guys, it's so important. When you look at what's going on right now, you know, Tucker Carlson now is taking off the kid gloves and he's ripping Jared Kushner for sabotaging Trump. Okay? Now, here's what people want to do. People want to blame everything on Kushner. Don't get me wrong. Kushner's a Kabbalist. I don't like him at all. I've told you guys that. I've not minced my words with Kushner. He's a hardcore Democrat, pro-abortion, just like his wife is, and, you know, Ivana or whatever her name is. And basically, these are the guys that have Trump's ear. They basically famously argued against Trump's positions, and basically they continue to not support Trump. Here's the problem, guys. Donald Trump hasn't gotten rid of them. I mean, if he wants to have a successful second term, which I believe he'll be revoted, he will be reelected simply because our choice is him or the senile one, all right? We've got to understand that he's got to get rid of these people who are running the White House, like Jared Kushner with his Kabbalist undertones. I mean, but it's not Jared Kushner who's making these choices. It is Donald Trump. He is the president. You know, Tucker said to Trump, he said, if you can't keep a Fox News correspondent from getting attacked directly across from your house, how are you going to protect my family? How are you going to protect the country? How hard are you trying, he said on Twitter the next morning. The president reassured America that he and his family were just fine. The federally funded bodyguards had kept him safe. He did not mention protecting the rest of the nation, much of which was then on fire. He seemed only aware of himself. This is a direct quote from Tucker Carlson. Now, let me share something with you real quick, what Carson said. It's not Donald Trump's responsibility to maintain peace in Auburndale, Florida. That's not Donald Trump's responsibility. We have decentralized government. We are not running from a centralized government out of Berlin like they did with the Nazis. We aren't doing that. That's one of the things that Hitler did, is he centralized the government and he made Berlin responsible for all the counties, cities, municipalities. And so they all lost their freedom to make choices for the individual people. That's not what we've done here. Auburndale is responsible by the people who live in Auburndale, who elect the city officials, who basically put the police on the streets. Then the county itself is under the direction of Sheriff Grady Judd, who, if Auburndale doesn't do what they're supposed to do, Grady Judd does what he's supposed to do. And then, of course, if the county doesn't do what they're supposed to do, then the state comes in with the state militias. All of these things are supposed to be in order. For Tucker Carlson to say that Donald Trump is responsible to protect us and our homes in Auburndale is nonsense. I mean, Grady Judd has said, I would rather have my citizens in Polk County with a gun in their hand if someone breaks into their house than with a sheriff on the telephone or 911 on the phone. This is the big problem that we found, is that we're trying to blame shift everybody for our own responsibilities. I mean, if you've got somebody breaking into your house and they've got a gun and they're going to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and you're going to wait for 45 minutes for a law enforcement officer to come there and help you, I can pretty much guarantee you that entire scene is going to be vacated and gone and done, and they'll be doing basically an investigation with body bags by the time they get there. That's what's going to happen. And for Carlson to say that it's Donald Trump's responsibility to protect us on our homes, I don't like the overtones of that at all, because it's not Donald Trump's responsibility. Austin, what do you think?
Well, no, that's exactly right. And the issue that this ties back into is the same thing that I have been ranting about for years, is the lack of responsibility that people want to take for themselves and their communities. They constantly want to scapegoat it. They want to say, well, it's not my responsibility to stay healthy. That's my doctor's responsibility. It's not my responsibility to keep me safe. That's the police's responsibility. Well, if the police say, well, it's not my responsibility, it's the governor's responsibility. And then the governor goes, well, it's not my responsibility, it's the president's responsibility to keep us safe. So what you have is you have a failure down the entire chain of command where nobody wants to step in and say, yes, I screwed up.
Exactly.
It was my job to handle this, and I failed. I am deeply sorry for my lack of ability to do what I needed to do. No one wants to do that. They want to scapegoat it. And this is, goes along again with the communist mantra, is you constantly have somebody else is responsible for something else that they're responsible for, and somebody else is responsible, and it goes down the list. So nobody's ever responsible for anything. Everybody's just supposed to be, oh, that's somebody else's problem. And this is what I have told you guys for years, and this is what we've been very staunch on here in Central Florida. That's why last night, you know, I had one of my buddies, we're both very well armed, plain clothes though, very, you know, discreet. We went down to Central Auburndale. There's, like I said, about 250 protesters, which, by the way, I'm fully okay with them. A redress of grievances and to protest problems that you're having, that is 100% constitutional. And I've been told a lot of the guys that down there. So there's about five or six other plainclothes guys. We're all walking around. And, you know, Auburndale, and what Grady did was very, very respectful. He didn't pull in with a show of force and pull out with a 40-man SWAT team and start basically kicking heads. He let local PD, Auburndale PD, handle it. And so I went over when I first got there, and I talked to a couple of Auburndale PD guys. I knew one of them. And I said, so what's the game plan? They said, well, you know, we basically put a curfew in. It's 8 o'clock. We're telling everybody they need to disperse after that. We're not going to allow things to escalate. And I said, well, you know, I mean, everybody's on standby over at, you know, the other park. And they said, oh, yeah, we know. They said, there's multiple SWAT over there. I said, oh, yeah, so you guys are doing it. They said, yeah. I said, there's about 8 sheriff trucks around the whole perimeter of Auburndale. Same thing with Winter Haven, a few of them more. And he said, but they're all standing back. They're just sitting there. They're literally on the radio, 45 seconds out. If something goes sideways, they're here. But if nothing happens, we want this to be a local matter. Why? Because local PD is responsible for what's going on. And again, it's exactly what Dad just said. You take it down to the very, very bottom, and you say, okay, this is who's responsible. This is what we need to do. If we need backup, these guys are here for us. And that's why me and my buddy and a bunch of people went down there yesterday. And I told the officers, I said, you know, if anything pops off, I said, we're not direct, you know, engagement elements. I said, I'm not going to sit here and try to get in your way. I said, but if you guys get in a real pickle and you need backup, you already know where we're all at. And they said, that's fine. He said, you guys just hang back, you know, keep an eye. I said, yeah, we are. I said, well, we'll keep eyes on everything. Make sure nobody drops off a pallet of bricks in the middle of the road, which I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting to hear from somebody somewhere why nobody has basically called out who's done this. You think about it. We have cameras all over the country now. Literally facial recognition cameras, security cameras, CCTV cameras, everywhere. But yet, somehow, randomly, with all the cameras in the entire country that love to monitor and surveil every single thing you do, nobody can figure out who's dropped off pallets of bricks in almost every single major city on the exact same day. Anybody else find that odd? But me? That we can monitor people and figure out if they're picking their nose while they're running a red light on a backwoods road, but we can't seem to figure out who's strategically dropped pallets of bricks off in almost every major city right where the conflicts were starting. I mean, does that just seem odd to anybody else but me? But again, crickets, crickets. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's bringing it up. I mean, nobody wants to discuss it. Why? Because it doesn't go along with the narrative. You have Fox News, like with Carl Tuckerson, and I mean, I like a lot of stuff he comes up with, but again, it shows you that he's controlled, again, by the globalist media because he's keeping the narrative. It's Trump's responsibility. See, Trump needs to do this. Trump needs that. It's just, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. As Dad just said, local issues need to be handled by local authorities, and local problems need to be handled by local authorities. That's the way it's designed to be. When you start coming in and you start asking for a centralized federal government to protect you, ooh, guys, you're really going down the line of tyranny there. Because at that point in time, as we've already seen, when that starts to occur and they start to make these rules and regulations like they did with COVID, now we see all these different contact tracing apps coming out. We're seeing all this monitoring. We're seeing all these different aspects completely and totally invading our privacy. You know, like I said yesterday, nobody wants to talk about that. I mean, you got the FBI, who's, I saw, if you guys saw this, they tweeted yesterday. I mean, it was almost comical. I laughed if it wouldn't have been so serious. They put out a tweet about LGBT Pride Month. I kid you not. That's what the FBI is so concerned with right now. Not investigating who's dropping off pallets of bricks in all these cities. Not trying to figure out how to identify some of these Antifa members. No. They want to come out and put a tweet out and say, we're celebrating the contributions that our colleagues have made to our country and our mission. Diversity makes us stronger. LGBT Pride Month. And they have Lady Liberty with the scales and a sword and a full-blown rainbow outfit. This really, guys? This is the FBI now? We got the FBI putting gay pride tweets out? I mean, have we fallen that far as a country? The world, literally, the United States is burning with the inept policies of some of the mayors and sheriffs in these hardcore democratic leftist cities. And the FBI is concerned about putting out LGBT pride tweets right now instead of actually looking who's funding, who's busing in individuals, who's going in and dropping off bricks, all this stuff. No. We got to make sure we support Gay Pride Month because, you know, that's what's important right now, LGBT diversity. I'm surprised they haven't put the P on there yet, the pedophile. That'll be next. Give it a couple years. That's where this whole thing is going with transgenderism. I've said that for years, and now you can see how it's starting to go down that line. Because once you can blur reality and once you can blur science and you no longer have to go along with what science says and you say, it doesn't matter, I identify as a 12-year-old girl now. You can't tell me anything different. And people accept that. Well, then obviously you know where that's going. It opens the door right into pedophilia, and that's exactly where they're taking this. And that's why they've promoted this so many years now with their sick stuff in these libraries that they've allowed to have happen. And, I mean, I commend a lot of the pastors that I've seen who have gone berserk about this when these have popped up in their local areas. They've tried to put a squash to it. We haven't had anything like that happen here locally. If they did, you can bet money Dad and I would be down there with a very substantial amount of people making sure our voices are heard. They want to do that. Well, it's a public area, but you darn well better believe they're going to know there's some serious opposition in this town to that type of perversion. And that's the issue that we're seeing now, is that nobody wants to take responsibility, exactly what Dad said. And guys, that's why we did what we did last night. That's why I went downtown like I did. I had no intent nor want to get in a fight. Trust me. The last thing I want to do is get wrapped up in a fight with Antifa. And it's funny, I was talking to one of the realtors that's down there. We were keeping an eye on a lot of stuff because there were multiple people. There's like two or three different little groups, two or three guys. And you could tell they were up to no good. You could tell their attire, their body positioning, their walk. And there was one group, it was like three guys. And of course, they're in the full Antifa outfit. Black shoes, black pants, black shirt, black bandana, black hat, black sunglasses. And of course, we were all eyeballing them extremely hard, and they ended up leaving, and one of the guys ended up following them out, you know, stood back, but followed them out of the parking lot, got their tag number, and gave it to APD as well. And I mean, but that's what you do in a community, guys. That's how you take care of one another. Granted, we're a small town. You know, we're not a huge city. Obviously, the logistics and tactics become much more difficult when you go into a big city. But on the other hand, too, when you have idiots like in Wisconsin that come out and say, we're not going to arrest the protesters. You know, they're protesting. We're going to give them that. You know, we're not going to arrest them. We're just going to let them dissipate when they do that. You're green-lighting those guys to go full-blown riot and not do anything about it. That's the last thing you do with protesters, is give them carte blanche immunity and tell them they can do whatever they want and not get arrested. But again, it makes sense if you realize that a lot of these hardcore leftists, their mayors and county and all these other different sections, they are promoting this agenda basically through divide and conquer in the United States. And that's the biggest thing we have to address and make people well known that this is not an accident. This is not some random coincidental riot. These have been well orchestrated, well coordinated, and well funded. And we need to expose that for what it is, Dad.
You know, very well said, Austin. You know, ManCow yesterday did a show, and it was so funny. I mean, there's an old adage, an old song. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. You guys know that song. We all sang that when we were kids. And he played it this way. If you're unhappy and you know it, burn your town. It's just unbelievable. If you're unhappy and you know it, burn your town. You know, I mean, think about that for a second. These guys think that by basically burning up their own towns and burning up their own shops and burning up their own areas, that they're going to have a better life. Well, they're going to have to live in some type of unbelievable HE double sticks hole to try to get rent now, because all the stuff that they were in, they burned. And it didn't make any sense. But again, that's the communist way of thinking. Bernie Sanders, you know, he's coming out now and saying, well, the banks and, you know, big corporations have been looting the United States for, you know, for 100 years. You know, now we're looting people. We're doing the same thing as them. And so he's justifying these guys doing this because they're angry. Because he says the top 400 people, you know, have this incredibly multi-trillion dollar net worth, which they do. And again, we've talked about that in depth and in detail before, how they got this money and how they basically have looted it. And how in 2008, all these people that had done all this insider trading and set up all these derivatives, nobody went to jail. Nobody. Nobody was held accountable for this. When Ronald Reagan, when the savings and loan disaster happened during his presidency, a whole bunch of those guys went to jail. Because he had enough of it. Because they were criminals. They were crooks on Wall Street. But we didn't do that this time. We just let them go. Well, because why? Because their power is so absolute now over the government with their lobbying efforts, etc. And the international banks run the planet. We all know that because they control the Federal Reserve banks, which control the issuance of money. They pretty much do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Now, a really good article just came out that I posted from Zero Hedge. It said, the social contract between the government and the people is unraveling. It says numbers, budgets, charts, graphs about government finances. That's what we do here. We try to understand where public money should be spent and what it accomplishes. Through that lens, it's difficult to know where to begin on what has befallen the Chicago area and most of our country. For now, the simple observation seems paramount. The most fundamental element of the social contact between government and the people is cracking. That's the obligation of government to keep its citizens safe. For that, we surrender a portion of our freedom and wealth to the government for the collective good. The arrangement has been recognized as a foundational philosophy of civil society since Thomas Hobbes articulated over 300 years ago. Citizens expect government to protect their lives and adhere to a civil process even when being arrested, just as they expect to be protected from riots and looting. Both expectations are now broken. Now, I want to address this now. We could talk about what's happened and how we've got communists in and all this other kind of stuff. We can talk about all that stuff, but that's not the point of me reading this article. Why has this happened? Why have we broken the social contract? Why has the government broken the social contract? There's a fundamental part of this that this author is not addressing, and here's the fundamental part. We were founded on a Christian work ethic. In the United States, much of our Constitution, much of the, you know, the Declaration of Independence is based on Christian, Bible, New Testament, Old Testament fundamentals. You know, we were taught that there is a rule of law by God Almighty, by the great I Am himself. If you do this, this happens. If you do this, this happens. You choose life or death. Now I tell you, choose life. I mean, it's in the Old Testament, in Exodus and Deuteronomy. The problem we have is that we've taken the good book, the Bible, Christianity, out of our government, and we no longer discuss it, what the rights and wrongs are. If a man should lie with a man as he does with a woman, he shall be taken out back and stoned to death, is what Leviticus says. In other words, we're not promoting homosexuality here because of what happens to the culture when you do that. God's warning them. In the New Testament, it says, if the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and it lists a whole bunch of different things, including homosexuality, and it says these people cannot see the kingdom of heaven. The government now has decided these things are hate speech. We can't talk about them. Okay, so there was FBI rather than finding out who puts pallets of bricks, like Austin so clearly said, wants to find out and wants to promote Gay Pride Month or whatever it is, with Lady Liberty dressed in a rainbow. We have walked away from Christian principles in the United States. In other words, we are no longer love one another. We are no longer walk in peace. We are no longer promoting the Beatitudes of Jesus Christ. We are no longer saying they'll know you because you love one another. We're not doing that anymore. We've walked away. We've gone to full secularism. And we basically have taken God out of the schools. We've taken prayer out of the schools back in the 60s. And we've allowed abortion to rule and reign and kill 60 million of our Americans in the past 60 years. We've walked away from the principles of the great I am, the principles of the Bible, the principles of Jesus, and we've allowed ourselves to become secularized. We've sat back and we've watched Hollywood put every manner of filth they possibly could, and then we are ourselves subjected to a doggone snuff film with this guy being killed, Floyd being killed. I mean, we actually watch a man being choked to death, and we all see it, and we go, oh, God, that's awful. That's a snuff film. That's somebody being killed on camera and being shown to the public. That's the level of which we've degenerated to now in the United States. And we've watched every manner of perversion in Hollywood, who basically are run by the Kabbalists. These are the Luciferians. You can call them what you want to call them, the people who worship Satan. And we have allowed ourselves to be indoctrinated by their philosophy. Therefore, we've taken church out of the political realm with the Johnson Amendment. We tell pastors they cannot go out and talk about political things because we'll take away your 501(c) corporation status. And so we've taken the black-robed clergy out of the mix until to the point now the church has become ineffective to such a point they can tell you you can't go to church anymore. And we sit there and go, oh, okay. Now they can tell you, well, you can go back to church now, but you can't have more than 100 people in the church or 25% of your capacity, and you have to maintain social distancing. But you notice, in all of these cities, the people who aren't wearing masks, who aren't social distancing, and these riots and this looting, they're not being stopped by law enforcement and taken to jail for not social distancing. They're going to churches and doing that. Yes, on yesterday's show, we talked about how they're telling us now they're going to have government informants, government people in your church to make sure that you're practicing social distancing, or else you'll be turned over to the government to be fined and arrested. Wait a minute. Where is this going? Well, I'll tell you where it's going. It's going to full secularism. See, the Roman Empire, the reason it fell is because it stopped raising little Romans. The reason the United States is in this mess is we stopped raising little Americans. We've allowed the Frankfurt School to come in, that think tank from Goethe University that came over here in 1933 to infiltrate our universities, our schools, our civic organizations, all of these different places that basically taught us how to be an American, including the Boy Scouts, that are now bankrupt because they've allowed these scout leaders to come in based on the ACLU who were gay, who sodomized a bunch of these little boys. Now they're all being sued. This is where we find ourselves. We are slowly going down the slippery slope of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet we sit back and we go, oh, that's not happening here because I have normalcy bias. That'll never happen in the United States of America. Well, guess what, guys? The United States is burning right now. They're about to revoke the Insurrection Act. We haven't seen stuff like this since the 60s. And now here we are again. Of course, you got Barack Obama, who basically is promoting a huge homosexual promotion of everything. Complete and total moral degradation under his administration. And now we find ourselves with Donald Trump, with people like Jared Kushner in his White House, who are basically hardcore liberal leftists who shouldn't even be in the White House, who are helping to determine the course and the outcome of the United States. But yet Donald Trump doesn't fire him. I guess he's loyal to family. I don't know. We've talked about this in depth on this show. And we as Americans, if we don't wrap ourselves in the Bible and in the flag, this isn't going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's time for the black robe clergy, and I talked about this in depth yesterday, the preachers in the pulpit, to man up, basically, and to start telling the truth. If we can have a sheriff who's a godly man who preaches in churches around here, basically tell us that, you know, he wants us to blow these people back out of our houses with our guns if they break in, they come rob and steal and burn. Why can't the pastor say that? Why can't the pastor say that? I don't know. I don't know. But they've got to get back to that point where they become bold enough to speak the word of God in a way that people listen, in a way that precipitates change, and we can go back to where we're supposed to be in the United States and get off of this slippery slope of weirdo-ness. We're falling in the same hole that Rome fell, in which so many other civilizations have fallen. We've allowed our leadership to become corrupt. We've allowed our leadership to become compromised. We've allowed these banks, these giant corporations, to come in and do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it, and they have no accountability because they're a corporation. There's no individual to hold accountable, so they get a, they make $500 billion on some deal they do, and we fine them $100,000, and we say, oh, we got them. We got them for $100,000. We forget about the $500 billion they made. So there's no incentive for them to do what's right. This is where we have found ourselves. So, guys, talk to your local sheriff. Go to the Health Book, the Health Master's Facebook page. I've got Grady Judd right on my website there doing his speech. I've got this video of the MRAPs coming in. And we've already had thousands of shares this last night on that. Grady has close to 3 million views already on what he said in the press conference yesterday. It's gone viral. I mean, within 24 hours. I mean, Breitbart picked it up. That's how desperate we are for leadership in the United States. That's the vacuum that's there that we need to fill. Austin, what do you think?
Well, that's really well said. And I mean, that's, you nailed it. I mean, because that's really what we're all, I think everybody is craving for true leadership in the United States. We want honesty. And that's the problem we've run into now, like you just said, with the bankers. The bankers are usually the big bankers. I'm not talking about people that, you know, run banks or managers. I know a lot of people that. I mean, and they just have a job. But I'm talking these big top clown bankers, the ones that literally make a living off ripping people off. They are one of the primary problems in this country, the banks. It's always the banks. Thomas Jefferson called it out. It's the banks. When you allow these guys to come in and start controlling the finances and manipulating the money and do whatever they want, they pretty much own whatever they take over. And that's the problem that we've seen now. Because remember, as I've said this so many times, banks don't produce anything. They don't manufacture anything. They don't build anything. Yes, money that you can get and money that you can loan and so forth, yes, you can build with that. That's not what I'm talking about. But there is no growth from a bank. They take money from somebody else that put their money there. They loan the money out on a 40-to-1 scale. And then they make money off that money that they're using from you, that they're basically doing derivatives on, or they're doing fractional reserve banking. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked with these guys. This is why it was so important to have gold-backed currency back in the day, because this way the cash couldn't go berserk. They couldn't just start lending out hand over fist more money than they could, basically as much money as they could print. That's why it was backed by gold to hold in store. Okay, we got X amount of gold, you can lend out this amount of money, you can have overages with it if you need to, but this is gold. This is the main backing. This is the core asset. When they got rid of that, it let the Federal Reserve run amok. They could do whatever they wanted. And this is what we've seen now. And I mean, I've seen this, there are numerous cases I've seen where small banks, you know, that there were some people there that had a good amount of savings and had money in the banks, and those people pulled their money out. And all of a sudden, bank shuts down. Why? Because it's not fun when you don't have other people's money to spend anymore. That's just a fact. When you don't have the ability to loan 40-to-1 out, and there's a couple million dollars in savings accounts in there, and you can loan out 100+ million dollars in loans that you can charge 3, 4, 5, 6% interest on, and make absolute insane amount of cash off other people's money. Oh, it's not fun when you can't do that anymore. When they pull their money out, no longer a game anymore. This is what everybody has to realize, and this is why I've always encouraged everybody. You know, do your research on silver, gold, platinum. I'm not giving you financial advice. You do whatever you feel is best. But understand, when you put your money in the bank, it's no longer your money anymore. It is the bank's money. A lot of people have a hard time grasping that. And I mean, I saw this firsthand again. I've always preached about this. You know, when this whole thing started with the this whole pandemic, trying to go to banks and get cash out, they start restricting cash. Straight up. You can pull $2,000 out a day in cash. That's it. I'm like, that's it? Like, yeah, that's it. I said, these are the restrictions you put on it? We have to make sure everybody has access to cash. Well, you shouldn't have an issue making sure everybody has access to cash because you should already have enough cash on deck. But they don't. This is why they continue to get themselves in these pickles, like Dad said. They know what they're doing. They know their financing. They know the manipulation. And then when they do it and they get their hand caught in the cookie jar, what happens? Oh, they get a multi-billion-dollar bailout. Exactly what we just saw with this last $2.2 trillion stimulus package that they passed. Oh, it was a giant banker bailout again. Another stock market bailout. Another $4 trillion that the Fed said it'd pump into the stock market. That's what it is. This is what they do. They cover each other's backs. And so and now we have this new $3 trillion one that they're trying to put out there. And it's so funny, you know, they tried to rant, rant, oh, you know, everybody's going to get $1,200, $1,200. You know, it's like $300 billion of the bill, of the $2.2 trillion bill, was $1,200 to go to citizens of the country. And people, oh, I want my $1,200. And I know people literally just recently just got their $1,200, finally, after months. But it's ironic, the payroll protection things and a lot of these big corporations that got these multi-million dollar loans, funny, they had their loans and all their money months ago, right after it happened. Clean the clock out, actually. They had to go in and add more money to the whole thing because all these guys were coming in and getting these $5 and $10 million loans. Like the one, what was that one? The NBA group, they got one, and then one group got money, and then they're like, oh, well, we don't really need any more, so we're going to give it back. I'm like, no, you're giving it back because you got busted again. Everybody called you out. You know, you're just another manipulation group. And this is what they continue to do. So it's crucial we keep getting the truth out there. We keep getting this information out there and understand that we're all responsible for our own well-being. As we have seen time and time again, and especially right now, it's clearer than ever, and I've said this numerous times, it's not law enforcement's job to protect you. Now, if you have a good county sheriff like we have, they'll stand on the outskirts and watch and maintain a perimeter and see how everything goes. And if it goes completely sideways and the citizens need support, they're right there with our back. And that's fantastic. But overall, same thing Grady said. You'd rather have a pistol in your hand than a cell phone on the phone with the sheriff. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to watch your family, to take care of your family, to watch out for your neighborhood, to make sure you have people in your area that can support you, that you can train with, you can run drills with, that you know if something goes down, you can count on them to at least have a moderate eyes and ears of what's going on and say, hey, you know, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? Crucial, guys. Absolutely crucial. And again, the more self-sufficient that we become, the less reliant we are on big government. And this is why this whole mindset, this whole mantra is being pushed on the American populace, that we need somebody to protect us. We need Trump to save us. We need these guys to step in and protect us. Why? Because that's the communist mantra, that big government is there to save you. They're there to clothe you. They're there to change your diaper and give you a bottle because you're a good little peasant. But what happens is, the further you go down that rabbit hole, as we saw in Russia and multiple other countries, once it goes to that level where all-knowing, all-watching, all-controlling big government watches, looks, monitors, controls everything you say, think, and do, you no longer have freedom. You can't even go walk around on the street. And I told you guys last week, I was reading you about East Berlin and what was going on with that. And this is exactly what we're seeing try to unfold right here in the United States. It's a Stasi East Germany and trying to make sure they monitor, control, and manipulate the entire situation. And we have to see through it, Dad. And it's crucial. Everybody, get this information out here. Get this show out here. Get the truth out there and wake people up the best you can.
Well, this is exactly the mindset that we've had in the United States now since the intrusion from the Frankfurt School in 1933. Remember, the communist group tank known as the Frankfurt School was trying to figure out why Europe had not accepted communism and they were run out of Germany in 1933 and went to the United States. This was a group tank that was promoted and financed through the International Rothschild Banking Cartel, who are the guys that basically financed the Russian Revolution. Look at the math on it. Look at the research on that. Look at the history on that. And this is the same group that took over the United States with the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. And what they do is they use fractional reserve banking methods. And now, it sounds easy that, you know, what they do is if they have $1 million in savings, they can loan out $40 million. You think, well, how's that possible? They just add dots and dashes and zeros to it, and they just make the money out of thin air is what they do. Here's the problem with that. And I've used this analogy before, and I'm going to use it again. Let's say, for instance, that I wanted to buy the island of Grenada and start my own country, which nowadays that doesn't seem like such a bad idea, but I don't have anywhere near that kind of money. That's kind of crazy money. But let's say I happen to be able to do that, but I spent all of my money buying the island of Grenada. But now I have no money for roads or seaports or infrastructure or for government. And so I need to have currency in there. I mean, I have to have some type of currency that I can use that's going to be backed and people know that it's real. So let's say I go to, you know, just pick a guy. I'm going to pick Joe Schmo. Joe Schmo is worth $100 billion. And I tell Joe Schmo, Joe, I need to get you to issue me some currency based on your $100 billion. I need $10 billion with Joe Schmo's name on it. So he issues $10 billion in currency to say, Joe Schmo, $10, $20, $40. This currency is issued by Joe Schmo. And I think, great, Joe Schmo. Everybody knows Joe Schmo. So what happens is Joe Schmo gives me $10 billion. And so I spend it on roads, infrastructure, the money's in circulation, et cetera. And he charges me 7.2%, which is, you know, what it takes for money to double itself within 10 years. It's the rule of 72. So in 10 years, I've got my $10 billion, and we're running around doing all this stuff. Well, in 10 years, Joe Schmo comes to me and goes, well, Ted, you owe me $10 billion in interest. Well, here's the problem. Joe Schmo never printed the $10 billion in interest. All he ever put into circulation was $10 billion. But now I owe the original $10 billion, and I owe $10 billion more in interest. But the interest was never printed, so it was never put into the M1 money supply. Now, Thomas Jefferson knew this. He understood this. It's called fractional reserve banking. That's why he said you could never allow a bank to come in and control the issuance of currency. You'll find yourself as slaves in the very country your forefathers founded. And what ends up happening is, now I got to go back to Joe Schmo, and I got to borrow another $10 billion. Well, now I've got $20 billion on the books, but there's still only $10 billion in circulation. And the same thing happens 10 years later. Now, all of a sudden, I owe, instead of 10 and 10 is 20, now I got to borrow 20 more billion to pay the interest. So now I got $40 billion out that I owe Joe Schmo, but I still only have $10 billion in circulation. Hence, why we constantly have these banks doing this and loaning out money from thin air they don't have, and while we have a constant shortage of M1 capital in the United States. I remember when I was in the MBA program at Florida State University, they taught us about M1, the money in circulation. When the 2008 banking crisis hit, there was less than $1 trillion. It was actually $800 billion in circulation. The M1 was $800 billion. And there were trillions of dollars loaned out. And so there wasn't enough money to cover all of the gambling on Wall Street. And so suddenly everybody's calling in everybody's debts, and there's no capital. So the velocity of money completely stops because it goes away. And you have a massive recession. So then they end up printing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And that's exactly what they've done now. The international banks have stepped on the brake of international world commerce to slow down the velocity of money, so they can massively increase the M1 in circulation, but decrease demand by shutting down everybody's businesses globally, which prevents hyperinflation like they did with the Weimar Republic in Germany in 1920. It's actually a brilliant strategy. The only problem is it makes everybody live in poverty because no one's businesses can prosper any longer, and everybody's broke. Here's the problem. What they do then is they say, well, obviously, we have to issue digital currency so we can control the supply of money better. And then at that point, they can do dots and dashes of digital currency as much as they want. Put in a one-world government with a one-world digital currency. that's controlled via the international banking community with a one world religion, because obviously everybody knows, according to these guys, that it's the religion that's caused all these problems over the decades and the eons of time. No, it's not. Christianity's held the whole planet together for 2,000 years. It's the international bankers that have continually done this and caused this massive shortage of liquidity. They did it in 29. They did it in, all of these recessions are based on banker recessions and liquidity problems and the amount of money shortages. But now you guys understand, with the island of Grenada, the debt gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but the M1 money supply never gets increased. And so all of a sudden you're like, what the heck? This is why it doesn't work. This is why in 1913 they implemented this Federal Reserve strategy in the United States, which is neither federal nor is it a reserve. It is a commercial group of European bankers, primarily the Rothschild banking cartel, that decided to control the money release in the United States. Remember, prior to 1913, the United States was the largest creditor nation in the world. Now we're the largest debtor nation. They bankrupted the United States. This is what they always do. And when they do this, the only exception, the only thing you can do is to reboot the entire financial system and start over again, which is they've done over and over and over again after they've seized all of the assets and stolen all the stuff. And again, this is not the local bank managers and the tellers behind the windows. They don't know anything about this stuff. They don't even understand fractional reserve banking. I've talked to so many of them so many times. They don't even know what we're talking about here. They don't tell the guys who run the local branches what's going on at the highest levels. They don't do that. So don't go be fussing at your banker. They don't know anything anyhow. They've got a job like, you know, everybody else does. But guys, the guys at the highest levels are the guys who do this. And now, by the way, just to completely change the subject, Zoloft is falling into shortages. The virus anxiety strain supplies of Zoloft. You know, here's the thing. You know, the Bible tells us these guys that practice the pharmakia, these drugs and everything else, they're going to end up in HE double sticks. It talks about that in the book of Revelation. These tricyclic antidepressants and these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, these things have serious side effects, including suicide. It's right, they got black box warnings on the labels. And now we've got so many people becoming so anxious and so depressed because of what's happening with the economy and what's happening with the world right now, they're going to pharmacology and to drugs to try to get better. And I'm not saying that you should never ever use a drug. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that there's natural approaches that you can do, methylated B vitamins, cod liver oil, 5-HTP, there's all kinds of natural things you can do to elevate your mood and increase serotonin levels without going to the drugs. It's kind of like this. We know to build your immune system, you need vitamin D3 and K2. You need vitamin C. You need zinc. Okay. You need potassium iodide. All these things massively increase the immune system. It makes it less likely that you're going to come down with COVID-19 or the flu or a cold. But yet, nobody yet on the national scene is talking about natural solutions to these issues from a health standpoint. It's all about got to wear masks, got to wash your hands, which is important, by the way. But the masks have been shown to be ineffective. But all of these things are happening all of the time. Why? It's control, guys. They want to control you in every aspect of your life. Because remember, the pharmacology guys, the Rothschild Rockefeller Industrial Medical Complex, they make their money by selling drugs. And if they can find natural protocols for you to follow, they don't make the money. Anyhow, just a little tidbit for you guys today. Guys, I love you. I got to pray for you again today. It was my privilege to pray for you. It was my honor to pray for you. You guys are awesome to me. And every day I get to spend with you is just a highlight of my day. My prayer time and my show are the highlight of my day. And you guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us, your toothpaste, that kind of stuff. Thank you for supporting us. If it wasn't for you guys, we couldn't bring you this show commercial-free like this. I love you guys. Austin, go ahead and finish up.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, remember, too, that a lot of these news companies, majority of them, mainstream media, 60, 70, sometimes more percent of their revenue comes in from pharmaceutical ads. Always remember that. So whenever you wonder why in the world Fox or CNN, which I've got the clown show anyways, but even Fox, a lot of people are so, oh, Fox. When's the last time you heard of them talk about vitamin C to keep your immune system strong? Or talk about D3 to keep your immune system strong? When they talk about that at all? They don't. They never will. Because their ad revenue is from pharmaceutical companies. Majority of it is. and they're not going to go in and compromise their millions of dollars in sales and millions of dollars in checks they get every year from Big Pharma to push all their drugs when they talk about something competing, like vitamin C. So it's very, very crucial you understand who's behind the scenes. That's why, again, I say it, Dad said it, I'll say it again, I've said it for years. We don't have any ads. We don't have any commercials. That's because nobody can buy us out. Nobody can come in and say, hey, we're going to pull our ad revenue because you guys are talking about something you're not supposed to talk to. You're not supposed to talk about Building 7. You're not supposed to talk about what's going on. You're not supposed to bring these things up. You're not supposed to talk about the banking cartel. No, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about Federal Reserve. Oh, okay, okay. I don't want to lose my money. I don't want to lose my, you know, my commercial money. Yeah, okay. Be a good little peasant. Go do your thing. You can talk about most of this stuff, but you don't talk about the real stuff. Just keep the narrative going. And that's what's happened to a lot of these alternative media sites. Not all of them. There's still a lot of good ones out there. But a few of them have been compromised over the years because of cash flow and ads and commercials. So understand who you're listening to and who actually runs them behind the scenes. Thank you guys again for the continued support of Health Masters. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your emails. I've been getting a ton of emails. I'm trying to keep up with all of them right now. I've been very busy down here with a lot of different things going on. So again, thank you for the support. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter if you want to stay updated on things that are going on, including the show. We send the show out every day on the email, so there's a link right to your inbox. You can forward it. You can listen to it. Lots of good stuff on there on a regular basis. And on the website, we have lots of different specials and stuff going on right now, including the product of the week, the HGH Stimulate. Incredibly great product on sale right now for 20% off on the website at healthmasters.com. So be sure to check that out. If you need anything, if you need any health advice or supplementation or diet advice, feel free to give us a call. We're here and happy to help you out the best we possibly can. Healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Stay prepared, stay awake, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.